It's been 2 years since Joyce Eshequan, an Atikamatek woman, died shortly after recording herself on Facebook Live as healthcare workers made racist and derogatory remarks to her. Eshequan, experiencing extreme pain, was sedated, restrained, and left alone shortly before her death. Eshequan's death highlights how not all Quebecers face the same barriers in the healthcare system. People of color face greater barriers as a result of an institution plagued by systemic racism. There are multiple examples of racialized patients receiving inadequate healthcare, having their pain dismissed, or being refused further treatment. Many of these cases have resulted in death. Our premier, François Legault, has continuously denied that systemic racism exists in Quebec.
The only place where I don't agree is when we say that there's a system. Because for me, a system is coming from out, upstairs, coming from the top people, and I don't see this in the healthcare network, for example.
Our premier.
But under the CAQ government, patients have died due to racism, a term coined medical lynching. Following a three-week inquiry into her death, the coroner said she believes Eshequan would still be alive if she were white. Atikamatek leaders in Quebec drafted Joyce's principle following the mother of seven's death. The principle aimed to guarantee to all Indigenous people the right of equitable access without any discrimination to all social and health services. The provincial government refused to draft the legislation because it referenced systemic racism. Local 514 reached out to Quebec's Minister of Health, Christian Dubé, to discuss systemic racism in the healthcare system, but we were denied an interview. A representative said, "We must continue to fight against systemic racism in Quebec, especially within the health network," adding that they have announced measures to promote cultural security for Indigenous people and implemented training on Indigenous realities for all healthcare personnel. The government acknowledges racism within the healthcare system, yet continues to deny systemic racism. How many more racialized Quebecers have to die in an institution that should provide proper healthcare to all, as Legault continues to deny that systemic racism exists?
We don't believe it's, it's an isolated case. We're talking here about systemic racism, systemic barriers to equitable care, and also the question of being treated with dignity, with full equality.
2 years after the death of Joyce Eshequan, the government is still denying systemic racism, and even worse than that, has been saying that the matter has been cleared at the Hospital de Joliette, it's fine, you know? While actually Indigenous people are mobilizing for the Principe de Joyce.
Indigenous healthcare workers say that since Eshequan's death 2 years ago, little has changed in the healthcare system. Following her death, the Quebec government implemented sensitivity training for healthcare workers, consisting of an hour and 45-minute long online course. One Cree family physician said that this is just baby steps, that the training was poorly developed and should be led by Indigenous communities and not the government.
First of all, it's in French only, so that's also a challenge for many English-speaking institutions. But more importantly, the Inuit dimension is rather absent. And in that Indigenous training program, there's a lot of mixed up with the First Nations and Inuit. And then there are certain stereotypes of the Inuit that are perpetuated either intentionally or unwillingly. But there are some major deficiencies. And then again, it's a matter of ensuring that these training programs are designed with the participation of the very people concerned.
Just weeks ago, a report on systemic racism was released detailing issues at Quebec's largest hospital network in Montreal. The report detailed that both staff and patients are discriminated against due to their race, religion, and ethnic origin at McGill University Health Center. One account within the report experienced by a Black employee cited that their manager called them the N-word and hit them numerous times. Examples of discrimination against 2S LGBTQ plus Islamophobia, anti-Asian racism, and sexism were also included within the report. A year ago, MUHC Executive Director Pierre Gefeller released a statement announcing that the MUHC would uphold Joyce's principle. Yet Indigenous people were cited within the report for receiving both inadequate health care and experiencing racism by healthcare providers.
And lo and behold, there was all kinds of acts to avoid even the use of the word systemic racism. And the authors couldn't speak to the media and could to be more fully available to answer public questions about the report. The institutional response to complaints of systemic racism, it should be considered in and of itself also a barrier to equal access in healthcare. We've seen very often how the systems, the procedures, and the mechanism designed to handle complaints or to prevent these situations from happening, basically these systems and procedures just don't work for people of color and for Indigenous people.
Gilda Salomon, the communications officer from the MUHC, said that racism and discrimination has no place in society, and especially not in our health and social services system. Salomon said the board asked a committee to take a close look at the situation in our institution and produce a report that management will now determine the next steps regarding implementation under the usual oversight of the board. Salomon said the board asked a committee to take a close look at the situation in our institution and produce a report. She said that management will now determine the next steps regarding implementation. She said the MUHC will continue to work with Indigenous communities in the Montreal area and beyond to improve healthcare and provide more to ensure underrepresented groups have equal access to jobs and advancement opportunities, and that a safe reporting system to address any issue of discrimination, racism, and bias will be implemented. Fon Yemi, director of the Center for Research Action on Race Relations, has represented multiple cases where patients experience racism in Montreal's healthcare system, some circumstances even resulting in death. Hours after leaving the Jewish General Hospital's emergency room, Akeem Scott died of acute peritonitis. Peritonitis, which is inflammation of the abdomen lining, is life-threatening but treatable. In the 4 hours Scott waited in the emergency room, experiencing excruciating pain, the 26-year-old was never offered a bed. He instead laid in a fetal position on the floor. His security threatened to make Scott leave if he did not get up. After being told he would have to wait 18 more hours, he went to get rest at a friend's apartment nearby with plans to return in the morning. Scott's friend found him vomiting blood and called the ambulance. By the time they arrived, Scott's heart had failed and paramedics were not able to revive him. The coroner said Scott's condition was classified as priority 3 by a triage nurse, meaning he should have been seen within 30 minutes of arrival. His friend accompanying him at the ER alleges racial discrimination, stating that if Scott were white, he would have received a bed right away.
We do feel he was neglected because of the way he looked. We feel that he wasn't taken seriously, and that led to his death ultimately.
Winston Nelson, a senior from the Mohawk Reserve, Gonasadage, was sent home from the closest hospital to his house in only a medical gown, socks, and a soiled diaper. Nelson's family filed a case with the Quebec Human Rights Commission. The most serious allegation included the doctor calling Nelson's wife to have her pick him up as his health was deteriorating. The doctor said that there was nothing they could do and that he should die at home.
It's a kind of quiet discrimination in terms of subtle denial of healthcare access or the denial or the provision of low quality healthcare. Both him and his wife encountered many of these acts when they went to the hospital near their community. It's not an isolated case because other people in the Mohawk community there talked about it as well, and it's being recognized. And when you go to the hospital, if you're Mohawk, if you're seen as a First Nation person, and if you're from the Kanatasaka community, be prepared to be badly served. You know, strangely enough, the first article of the Pay Equity Act of Quebec recognizes systemic discrimination against women in employment, which leads to pay inequity. So systemic discrimination against people with disabilities, against women, against Indigenous people, it's recognized in many laws and reports and policies, but there is this shying away of using the word systemic racism, maybe because of a lack of social, political, or emotional maturity vis-a-vis the use of the term.
Denying that systemic racism exists in the public healthcare system and in the society in general. We have the right to health, and the state has a responsibility not only to respect the right to health, but to put forward some concrete public policies that would allow everybody to fulfill their right to health.
So what needs to change?
We need also to rethink and redesign our health and social services in a more creatively, culturally sensitive matter, as soon as to better accommodate and better adapt and better to respond to needs of First Nations people and Inuit people in a way that could really recognize, the, among other things, the right to cultural safety and the right to dignity as they see it, not as how the system sees it. Where are the Indigenous people among the staff, among the managers, among the healthcare providers within an institution? They are not monitored, they're not evaluated, and therefore, in the end, there's no accountability. There's no accountability for quality healthcare for people from First Nations and racialized people as well.
What do you think of Legault's refusal to accept that systemic racism exists within our province and within our institutions? To watch the video version of this episode, subscribe to Local 514 on YouTube or follow CUTV Montreal on Facebook.